chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we just thank you for your word once again. Thank you that we can gather around it. Just pray you would bless us from your word. Help us to be drawn closer to you from it, Lord. Just we pray you would help us to understand these principles, that we might have victory and bear much fruit for you in our day and age. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we see from the beginning in this passage that there's essentially a war going on within us, that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, that our soul exists, and we think of it that we're made up of three different parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. And the soul is who we are, and the body is our consciousness of this world around us, and that our spirit is our consciousness of God, and we have the Holy Spirit now within us when we're saved, but we still have the old sin nature within us, the body of this death, and there is a war that's going on. We see Romans chapter 7 speaks of this. Romans chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And so we see that we have this law in our members, this flesh that wars against the Spirit. And it's the idea that we cannot do the things that we would because of that. And we ask, well, how can we be delivered from that, that we struggle with it? And we find that we are to walk in the Spirit so that we shall not fulfill the lust in the flesh, and that we're to be led by the Spirit so that we're not under the law. We recognize that we don't live by the law, because the law only brings us condemnation. We can try to keep a set of standards, and the fact is that we'll always fall short. We'll always be condemned. But we live by grace through faith. We see that there is no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And that is the thought, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes us free from the law of sin and death, that we don't have to live after the flesh, that we can have victory. And so it's the idea with our life that we can try to serve the Lord. It says we cannot do the things that we would. That so often we try to live the Christian life, but the flesh gets in the way. And we have to recognize we can't live the Christian life in the flesh. We can't live it in our own power. We cannot do what we desire to do, and we certainly cannot please God. Romans 8, verse 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And so we recognize that if we're in the flesh, we can't please God. But that's why it says to walk in the Spirit. We shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That if we're walking in the Spirit, we know that we can please God, because we're walking in His power. We're walking according to His guidance, and it's according to His direction. And it's kind of the thought, when we walk in the Spirit, it's kind of the Spirit is upon us, the Spirit is guiding us, that we don't step out from under that. Whatever path He is taking, that we're following Him in it. That it's almost that He being God, is leading us, He's directing our steps, and we're following in His footsteps as closely as we can. That sadly, so often in our Christian life, we go and do our own thing so often by our own will, and we kind of hope He'll be there to bless it. Whereas we turn it around, that He is God, that we need to be in submission to Him, and we walk in Him, then we are able to have victory. That we have this closeness with Him, this relationship. And it says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And that's the thought, that we can try to keep a rule, bunch of do's and don'ts, and try to show ourselves to be perfect by our own flesh. But if we're led of the Spirit, He's not going to lead us into sin. He's going to help us to do what's right. And if we're guided by Him, if we're in tune with Him, He's going to help us. It's not something where if we recognize, if we're going out doing our own thing and the Lord's trying to direct us and we're grieving Him and quenching Him, we're not going to have success. We're not going to have victory, because He's trying to warn us of something and we're not listening, and we go into it anyways, and we struggle and we fall. Or there's things that He wants us to do, or He wants to show that we can have victory, but we don't think that we can, so we don't step forward and we miss out. But if we're led of the Spirit, we'll find that we will have victory. We won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And there is not that condemnation that we have under the law, but we have victory instead. And that's what we desire. And so it gives a list of the works of the flesh. And we recognize these essentially to be efforts of the soul that's under the influence of the body. That our body essentially keeps telling us, "I want, I need this, you must gratify me, you must satisfy me first." Where we see when we're under the influence of the Spirit, we're thinking spiritually, often we think we need to deny ourselves for a time to obtain something which is much more valuable, much more important. And we see with all of these things that are written here, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, all these different things we recognize to be loathsome. These are evil things that we don't want to have as a part of our life. But we recognize if we operate in the flesh as a believer, that these things start creeping in. That we think of different lusts that can encroach upon us, get into our minds. If we don't take those thoughts into captivity, we think of idolatry, just the thought of where we start putting other things in the place of God. We start getting our priorities mixed up. It speaks of witchcraft there, which we recognize to be an evil thing, but we remember in 1 Samuel that the prophet said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That we realize that these things are kind of the end result, the fruit of what the flesh produces. And we realize that if we're working in the flesh, that and we're operating that we're sowing to the flesh, and we're going to the flesh reap corruption. This is what it's going to produce in the end if we don't nip it in the bud, if we don't pull it out of our lives. That it's something that we would think as a believer we'd never want these things, we'd never want to be have them spoken of us in any way. But we think of Christians maybe that we know that have been guilty of some of these things, and we think, well, how could that have happened? And we realize that it's a person's operating in the flesh, these seeds can be sown and it can reap corruption. And we see this is Ephesians chapter 5. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and of God. And that is what we see throughout, that these are things we do not want. It says that anybody that exhibits these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we wonder, what does that mean? Does that mean that they lose their salvation? And no, that's not what it means. We understand that the Lord has a kingdom, that is, we're faithful, that we can rule and reign as kings and priests with Him. But as a Christian, if we're exhibiting these things, we're not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, that essentially will be on the outside looking in, that there'll be many blessings that we'll miss out on because we worked in the flesh and not in the Spirit, that all the works that we might have done are just wood, hay, and stubble, that they don't count for eternity because they're done in the flesh. And what really counts is what's done in the Spirit. And so that's what we realize. And as we look at it, it says the fruit of the Spirit, that these are the things we want. That all the things in the verses above bring condemnation. That if we see these within ourselves, we condemn ourselves. If others see them in us, it condemns us. But these fruit of the Spirit, it says, against such there is no law, that there is no condemnation when we exhibit these things. There's nothing that can be spoken against. And that is what we want to do, is be blameless and harmless before the world. And we see in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so we want that, to have a life that is exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. We don't want to be encompassed and in bondage to the works of the flesh. And so we want to realize from the Scriptures that we can be free, that we don't have to be under this. It says, Romans 8, verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that's what we desire, that we would live through the Spirit, by the Spirit, we would mortify the deeds of the body, that we learn to have victory. It says, verse 24, they that are Christ's, this is Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. When we belong to Him, when we surrender our lives to Him, we follow His leading, we walk in the Spirit, we've crucified the flesh, we've put it to death. Paul said earlier in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That we are dead to sin, but we're raised to walk in newness of life. And the life that we live now is not our own life that's just been kind of reformed and fixed up. It's the life of Christ, where we submit to Him, we allow Him to work through us. And so we're going to be looking over the course of several weeks at the different fruit of the Spirit. And we want to recognize several different things going into it so that we understand them in their proper context and understand how we receive them and exhibit them. We understand, first of all, with the fruits of the Spirit, that we can't work them up. that when we're in the flesh, that we can try to exhibit love, we can try to have peace, we can try to have self-control, but all the things that we try to manifest, if it's in the flesh, it's just a hollow mockery of what is truly the fruit of the Spirit, that it's tainted, it's corrupted. And we recognize that the love that we often exhibit, that it's, we're able to do it when it's returned, when someone loves us back, but we find that when we're mistreated, that we find it hard to love, that we think of how Jesus told them that it had been said that they were to love their friends and hate their enemies, but he told them that they needed to love their enemies as well. This is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. It says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That we realize this, that we can try to exhibit these things in our own strength, in our own power, and we think that we'll have them down. But the fact is, what will come about is we'll get in a situation where we'll see how tainted it really is, that we don't really have it in the same way, and that we can love when love is returned, but to love as our Father in heaven, that we can love even those that hate us and despise us, that's when we really are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. And so we recognize this fruit of the Spirit is a work of the Spirit in our lives. It's not something we've done. It's something that He does as we are surrendered to Him. We allow Him to work in us. And we recognize as well with this that if the Holy Spirit is manifesting Himself in us, all of these different fruit of the Spirit are manifest. That it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, but it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all these different things. The way that it's designed, that it's not the idea that sort of where we can say that I'm spiritual, I'm mature if I'm exhibiting sort of 5 out of 10 or 6 out of 10, that we recognize that we should be exhibiting all of these if the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting, because we can't divide the Spirit up into pieces and say, well, He's given me the love part today, He's given me the joy part some other time. We get Him all, and if He's manifesting Himself, all of these things should come to the fore, that it should change us. We recognize as well, if this fruit of the Spirit is being exhibited, that it shouldn't be something that's we're the only ones that notice it. It should actually be visible to everyone. And we realize with all these different things, and that's what we're going to look at as we go through this study, is that what is spoken of here, the fruit of the Spirit, is we can see it as being clearly the manifestation of Christ. That all of these things that Christ defines them, that we see how He is love, how He is joy, how He had peace. We see His gentleness. We see His goodness and His meekness. We see His temperance, His control, and all these things, that these are what Christ manifested. And we realize as believers, that is our focus of our salvation. Once we are saved, we are to become conformed to the image of Christ. And so if the Holy Spirit is working in us, He gives us power, then Christ is going to be manifested. That it stops being us that people see and it starts being Christ that people see. And that's what we recognize is going to be where the fruit comes, is when we're not just trying to pretend to be a good person, but that Christ is living within us. And that's what we should strive for, that it isn't about us, it's about Him. And we recognize in this as well, God desires, and it should be our desire as well, that these things aren't just manifested a little bit, they're manifested more and more. That it's kind of the thing that we rejoice when we have a bit of a breakthrough and we start to manifest a Christ-like love or a peace in the midst of difficult times or self-control when we have a hard situation. That we rejoice, we think, well, wow, I did good just that I did that one time. Whereas we realize in the Christian life, if we're getting close to the Lord, if we're maturing in Him, that these things should be kind of what is standard to us, what is usual, that the more time we spend with Him, the more and more that these should come out. And we realize that God wants us to manifest these a lot, that He, the fruit of the Spirit, God is not happy with just a little bit. It would be the same as if you were to plant a fruit tree, whether an apple tree or a cherry tree or something, and you went to all that work and you only got maybe half a dozen fruit off of it. You'd be thankful for that bit, but you'd be wanting that there to be more. And so you would fertilize and prune and whatever you'd have to do to try to make more. And that's the way it is. The Lord is with us. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the Lord says that He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He doesn't want to just be a little, He wants to be a whole lot. We see John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so that's what we realize. He wants us to bear more fruit. And verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And so that is the thought, that we are thankful when we bear some fruit, but we realize God wants to purge us. He wants to challenge us so that we would bring forth more fruit. And even though we've brought forth more fruit, He wants us to bring forth much fruit. And so we want to see that. And we want to recognize as well that if the fruit of the Spirit is working in us, it's not dependent on the circumstances. That these fruit of the Spirit should manifest themselves in spite of the circumstances. It says, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." So until the day of Christ, that we would be sincere and without offense, that we would be filled with the fruits of righteousness, that we want to exhibit these things. We want them to be abundant in our lives. And that it would be evident to everyone around us. And it's a thought that no matter what we're in, that we still manifest these things, that whatever happens, our mindset is still right, that there's not a bitterness to it, that we think right, that we act right, and we treat others right. If you were to try to divide these fruit of the Spirit, there's essentially nine of them. You could think of some that it has to do with how we think towards other people, how we think in different situations, our mindset. We could think of others is how we act and conduct ourselves to other people, and how we treat other people, that we are in control, that we're doing what we ought to. And we recognize that the test of or a quality of something is so often proven in the fire, in adversity, in a difficult situation, with difficult people, that if we think that we know how to love, then the Lord will bring us someone in our life that seems to be unlovable to test us and prove us. And We'll see that. And so often a defect or a weakness in something can go undetected until it's placed under stress. I know with last year, the motor in my furnace was getting old, so I got a brand new furnace motor and figured, okay, well, this should last me for many, many years. But the problem was is that it had some kind of defect in it. Some kind of thing in the coil. We don't even know what it was necessarily. But we didn't know that it was there until it came under stress, where it came to a night that it was 30 below and it was running the whole time. And what happened? Because of that defect that it had, when it needed to be there the most, that's when it broke down. That's when I woke up a few hours later and found that the house is freezing cold, and that I had to drive into town to get a new motor because this one was not working. And that's what happens in the Christian life, that we can have weaknesses, we can have defects in our growth with the Lord, and they can go undetected until we're placed under stress. And the stress actually shows where we need to be fixed, where we need to be strengthened in. And we want to recognize as well that it is when we're under stress, when we're in a difficult situation, that that's when the need is the greatest for us to do what is right, to still stand firm. It can be the greatest opportunity we have to be a witness, or it can be the greatest opportunity to ruin our testimony. If we get frazzled, if we say something we shouldn't, if we act in such a way that displeases God, that someone that's been watching us, that's been seeing us as being faithful, that they'll see us and they'll say, oh, well, they're, when they get in a bad situation, they're just as mean as anybody else. But if we're guided by the Spirit, if we're exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, that even in the most difficult situation, that we still are exhibiting love and joy and peace and all these different things, then people will see that and say, there's something different about this person. And it's a blessing to them. It challenges them to seek more. And we recognize, too, that as we manifest these fruit of the Spirit, we will bear other fruit as well. It just naturally will occur that way. As the Holy Spirit manifests Himself, it will of a necessity draw others. And there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That if we're exhibiting these fruit of the Spirit, that it will be a tree of life, that there will be other fruit. That sometimes we wonder, well, I want to be a witness, how can I witness? And we focus so much on the words to say, finding the opportunity, making the most of the opportunity. But the fact is, if we walk in the Spirit, we are led by the Spirit, if we are empowered in exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, that being a witness is not going to be as hard as we think it is. Because it's, again, it's not us that's being manifested, it's Christ that's being manifested. And we recognize that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to uplift Christ, to draw attention to Him. And when we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, it will manifest Christ to those around us. And Jesus Himself said in John 12:32, that I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And so we recognize that if we're exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to bring other fruit in us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so we look at this verse, we recognize the truth of it, just the basic thing, that we don't plant beans and get potatoes off of it, that we sow what we reap what we sow. And we know that it works in the one way. If we sow to the flesh, we have the flesh reap corruption. We felt that again and again in our lives, different things that we've sowed, and we see the bad fruit that comes out of it. But we want to realize that it works just the same the other way. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And there's not going to be a crop failure if we're sowing to the Spirit, that there's going to be something produced from it. And that's what we want to see. And we want people to see Christ in us as the Holy Spirit works. We exhibit these fruit. Christ is manifest. They see His love and His joy in us. They see His gentleness, His peace, that it draws men. And that's sometimes what will happen is if we can exhibit a bit of what we should be as Christians, and people are interested, people want to find out if we for real, and then as they get to know us sometimes they get discouraged. They say, no, they're just the same as anybody else. But when we have these things exhibiting that they endure, that is truly the fruit of the Spirit and not us just trying to pretend, then the people that are drawn to us initially endure, that they seek further. They realize that we're real and they want what we have, that we desire that we would be witnesses through Him, that as the fruit of the Spirit is allowed to work as we yield to Him, as we walk in Him, that these things come part of our life, that Christ becomes manifest and that people are drawn to Him. And so we'll see as we go through this in the weeks to come that with each of these different ones, we'll spend probably a week on each of them, or one message on each of them rather, and we want to see first of all how that each is a portrait of Christ, of how we see that if we think of love and joy and peace, that we think of how Christ manifested it, how it fits Him so completely. But then we recognize that He has left us an example that we could follow in His steps, and so we will also define it. We will see what it means, and we will look at ways that we can practically manifest these fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so may the Lord help us that we would crucify the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we're saved, we live in the Spirit so that we would also walk in the Spirit, and that we'd be led of the Spirit, we would sow to the Spirit, and that we would see this fruit manifest in our life. And that it not only in the way we act, but that fruit will produce other fruit. It'll give a bountiful harvest of souls by the Lord's power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word. We just pray You would help us that we would bear much fruit, Lord. Just empower us even this week to come, Lord, that we may be more and more like You, that there would be a difference in our lives that people would see. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's turn to one more hymn, number 159, and we'll sing Blessed Quietness, hymn 159. Number 159, on the first. Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. He abides with us forever, makes the trusting heart His home. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance!